Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, my name's Aaron Gailmore. I live in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I run a company called Brass Roots that I started. It's a healthy snack food brand.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea for Brass Roots?
So a lot of, unfortunately, health conditions run in my family. Most prominent one is probably heart disease, which is my dad had it, his dad and his dad. And then I have diabetes on my mom's side. And so nutrition became more than just a hobby of mine, but a very sincere interest. And then eventually I found Sacha Inchi, which is our primary ingredient in all of our snacks, and found it to have cardiovascular benefits and other health benefits, even anti-diabetic health benefits, and decided to create a company around it.
Awesome. But I guess one thing to have the idea, but as you just like make it for yourself first, or like what did that process look like for you?
Yeah, I actually did. I found a bunch online that I could buy originally out of Thailand and Peru. And I started experimenting with it. You know, I just, I put it in a food processor, made a butter out of it. Like you'd make a peanut butter out of peanuts. It's called the Incan peanut because it tastes and crunches and generally resembles a nut, even though it's a seed. And so I just started making every snack possible and realized its potential and felt great when I ate it. And here we are.
Awesome. So I guess like as of today, is it mostly sold in retail or D2C? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a pretty healthy mix. I would say slightly more retail, but we've historically been a lot of D2C, Amazon, and our website. We sell in, you know, Whole Foods locally here, and then also we sell in a lot of colleges and universities. We sell in offices, like tech offices. You know, we sell in Amazon and Google and Microsoft, places like that, and then, you know, other hotels and spots like that. Our grab and go size for our Sacha Inchi seeds, think of it as a grab and go size of peanuts or almonds. That's kind of been our feature snack that has grown most on the retail side.
For sure. But like, who would you say is an ideal customer for your product?
It sort of spans a spectrum of folks. I would say, you know, a lot of our customers right now are looking for more nutrition specifically. And so that profile is a lot of bodybuilders and people who want more protein in their diet, people who are really focused on aging in a healthier way. We have a partner of ours on the brand named Thomas DeLauer, who loves Sacha Inchi. And so he's got several million followers on YouTube. He's a health expert, very specifically nutrition. And so a lot of his following, those are folks who are really looking to improve their lives through nutrition. And so that's a big portion of our customer base. But then we also have people with peanut or tree nut allergens, or parents who are looking to send their kids to school with healthier snacks. And schools are often banning peanut and tree nut products because of the allergy risk. So I'd say those are our two biggest groups, but people who are in each case focused on their ingredient and I would say simplicity of ingredients as well as the nutrition label.
For sure. So in terms of marketing, like what has been some of the most successful strategies for you? Has it been like running ads or in-store demos or both?
Yes. It's with food, it's always the best to sample in person if you can. So demos always work well. You know, we were at a large trade show called Natural Products Expo West this past week, and we handed out a ton of samples. So we just simply handing out our grab and go bag is probably the best single marketing we can do because people hold it in their hand. They have a tangible piece of your company and then they taste it. And then partnerships with someone like Thomas DeLauer has been great. You know, he puts out these super, super in-depth videos, research-backed, on the benefits of Satya Inchi. You know, partnering with registered dietitians has been great for us. They show their clients the product. They stand behind it because of the nutrition and the quality of the ingredient. So things like that have been helpful. And we have a, you know, we have a legitimate consumer education hurdle we have to get over. So we have to do whatever we can to get in the hands of either the customers themselves or people they really trust.
For sure. So you're as of now, you're really not spending any ad dollars. It's more of just like this partnership with this influencer and in-store demos, things like that.
Right. I mean, we do spend a little bit. Actually, we're starting to ramp up our ads a little bit more. Historically, we've had some success on Amazon. You know, there's I'd say there's some low-hanging fruit there. People who are already searching for Satya Inchi, right? And we want to make sure we're getting a lot of that traffic. Especially coming out, we had Shark Tank. I was on Shark Tank in January 2023. That really helped the visibility of Satya Inchi, visibility of our brand. So we had a lot of people searching for us, and we wanted to make sure to capture that. But right now, yeah, ad spend has been limited. It's been more samplings, in-person stuff wherever possible. It's not necessarily free, but we're not spending directly on ads. But again, that's gonna change.
So I'm curious, right? If these things like have worked well for you, you know, what you're doing now, like why the change to go and start doing ads?
Just purely to reach new audiences. And we've, you know, we're still young. We've been doing a lot of investigative work to figure out who is our target customer. And I think we've started to really hone in on who that is and the best places to find them. We were doing online advertising, and then there was the iOS change in terms of the ability to target, right, and use cookies and whatnot with folks from Facebook and Instagram. And so when that happened, a lot of the economics changed quite a bit. So we sort of took a break as we were pushing into retail as well. But now I think we've got an idea of that customer base. So we're gonna start trying some more ads, YouTube ads, Google ads, and then Amazon.
For sure. What about like Meta ads?
Yeah, we'll probably do some Instagram stuff. Eventually, it's super crowded there, super crowded. Not that it isn't on Google, but you know, I think we'll get there, and we'll probably dabble, but it's going to be very small dollars to start because it continues to be kind of tough to target.
For sure. So in terms of being on Shark Tank, can you just talk more about that experience? Like, what was that like, and how did it actually help your business?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, there's certainly value to partnering with the sharks, but the big value that we saw immediately was just the visibility. We had our largest month in terms of e-commerce sales, you know, Amazon plus our website. When we aired, we saw at least 10x our normal traffic, probably more like 20x our normal traffic on that. For that month. And on that day, it was even more, you know, in terms of a multiple of our average daily traffic to our website. So the visibility is huge, especially when you have an ingredient that most people haven't heard of. It's not grown in the US, right? It's grown in Peru. And so that's been very beneficial. And then there's also sort of this natural filter that you get through when you've been on Shark Tank. If you're talking to retailers, people tend to allow you into that or through that filter just simply because that you've gone through something, you've put yourself out there, and you know, it's a hurdle that you've been through already. So a lot of different benefits, but certainly the first is just purely that it's essentially a commercial.
Were you able to close a deal with one of the sharks?
Well, you're gonna have to watch it. You okay. And everybody's gonna have to watch it. Yeah, okay. It's season 12, episode 14.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I feel like, you know, being on Shark Tank for sure, because you said we've spoken to several brands that were on the show, and it's like that kind of social proof where like people are okay, like you're legit, you've been on the show, like it's a good brand. Because as you said, and I think that many people don't realize like how difficult it is to actually get on the show. So many people try, but like I think it's like less than 1%. It's like a very small percentage of like a brand that actually try and to go to these like auditions that are chosen to be on the show.
Yeah, it's a long process. You know, it often takes re-auditioning and reapplying multiple years, and then you know you're having to do multiple auditions. You're having you often think you're going to get on and don't, and then you do. And even if you shoot, even if you get to shoot, you're not guaranteed to air either. So you there are just so many points along the way where you can get kicked out, basically, of the process, right? So yeah, I was really, really happy with it overall.
Awesome. So obviously now in 2024, many companies are using things like AI in their business. So do you guys use AI in the business? And if not, like, where do you think the AI could come in and add value?
Yeah, I use ChatGPT for, it's almost like a business assistant, I would say. You know, I use it several times a week, and it's anything from helping me think through marketing campaigns, ideas in that respect, to, you know, different ways to automate some of my other software that I use. I wouldn't say we're super technical. We're still small, and so I'm not every day using AI necessarily, although I think it's embedded in a lot of that we do, right? I mean, Gmail, it's embedded fully in Gmail. So we'll see what happens. I think as we get bigger, we'll probably use it more. You know, I think I definitely do use it to automate some email outreach that I do, some sales work that I do, but pretty very much on a minimal scale right now.
But do you feel like AI could add value, maybe explaining your products to people who come onto your website from a Google search, for example?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're, you know, not many people, including AI, know a whole lot about Satya Inchi.
Right.
So even if it scrapes the internet, you know, I can get the basics down. I actually had I was using DALL-E to create and see if it could create some photos of or realistic images, right, of Satya Inchi. And that was, let's see, 4 months ago or so. It was not doing a great job. and that's partially just because it doesn't have a ton of data that probably trained it. So we need some time still before it's super beneficial for us.
So you're saying if it's trained properly and understanding your product, that it can help explain it? Because as you said, it's like such a new category and people are asking all these questions. It can help to better explain, okay, here's the value, here are the benefits, kind of similar to what the influencer is doing for your brand.
Yeah. I mean, I think AI is going to be as ubiquitous as the internet, right? I mean, I think within, it's already really embedded in much of what we do, but then within a few years, it'll be everywhere. I don't think it's really a question of whether it's going to be integrated into businesses. I think it's just inevitable at this point. So, and we may or may not really fully realize how much it's powering things, right? But it's such a powerful concept, tool, and whatnot that it'll be there. It'll be there for sure.
For sure. So obviously now we're wrapping up Q1 of 2024. So for 2024 to be successful for you, like, what would that look like?
I want to see us expand into retail quite a bit, like expand what we've done already in 2023. I want to see our general awareness of Satya Inchi and what we call ink and seeds. That's actually the term we use on our packaging. I want to see that increase. And so really what that means is I want to see search volume increase. That's probably the most obvious metric that can demonstrate that our marketing is doing what we want. And so I'd really like to see that double this year. You know, that's kind of like a goal I have in my head. And the way that's going to work is if we are more than doubling our retail exposure and doing a good job in our marketing. And I think if we can do that and keep doing that, we're going to hit those goals that we want. So really it's awareness, right? I mean, obviously we have some sales and profitability goals internally, but it's that awareness that will make this a good year.
So in terms of retail, is it like a certain region that you're targeting? It's obviously that you're based in New Orleans. So I don't know if you've captured like the Texas market, and if you're looking to go more East Coast, West Coast, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have pockets of people all over the country that are right for us, but the obvious regions that I really want to focus on are West Coast, California is obvious, Colorado in that Rocky Mountain area. We have a lot of people there that like our products. They're outdoorsy. Our products lend themselves to outdoor snacks too. Texas, purely because it's huge. You know, it could be its own country. And so you have plenty of people that are focused on nutrition there. And then I think, you know, of course, we include our states in the South and Louisiana. We want to succeed where we are. But then it goes all the way to Florida. So those are kind of like a lot of the areas that I'm most focused on. Of course, like I said, the big cities in the Midwest, the big cities in the Northeast, I think we'll be heading up certain customers, certain retail customers in those areas. And we've always had big order volume out of New York. But again, I think a lot of that is due to population in general.
For sure. So, are there certain retailers, like, I guess, that you think would be ideal for your product that maybe that they're not in right now?
Yeah, I think you know, there's Costco is one that I'm always targeting. I'm always trying to have conversations with. They are a place where people now go to shop to find new things. It wasn't always that way. It used to be just that they go and find their staples there, but now people actually discover in Costco. So I think whereas 10 years ago we wouldn't be even thinking about Costco at this point, now I view it as a place where we can actually get in front of more people. So that is kind of high on my list. And then a lot of convenience store chains are on my list too. You know, we can't go into every convenience store because our customers ne aren't necessarily there, but certainly in the urban convenience store areas, like even a 7-Eleven would make sense for us, I think. And then CVS is another place. You know, CVS has a healthy snack set. And so at the very least, it ends up being this place where people see your brand and they might take note of it. And then maybe next time they buy it. So it's a nice discovery and helpful retailer
For
that's
sure,
got
yeah.
9,000 stores. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to 7-Eleven or like QT, like, a quick trip here in Dallas, like looking for healthier options. And they are definitely starting to pop up. I think like a few years ago is not the case, but more and more people like are looking for those things for sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
It's a good question. I get asked that a lot. I mean, you know, I don't really look back a whole lot. I in terms of boy, I wish I don't lament anything because that's just not it's not the way things work. You kind of have to just go through and make mistakes, and the key is to learn from the mistakes, right? That's all the successful people that you will ever name and see. The reason they're successful is not that they didn't have failures or mistakes or didn't see certain things coming. It's that every hurdle they simply learned from and didn't make the same mistake again. So I think the main thing that I wish I knew is purely that mistakes are going to happen. Failures are going to happen. That's part of it. And you just kind of have to take it on the chin and then learn from it and don't make that same mistake again and get better.
I mean, what was like your biggest learning that you sort of, iterated and kind of, you could say, picked up from that to get to where you're at now?
I think I underestimated the amount of marketing that is required within consumer products. Marketing, I would argue, is about 90% of the success or the likelihood of success that a brand and product have. You know, it's so much more than what I expected. And so I think one of the biggest learning curves for me has been just learning marketing. That's not my background. And so that adjustment and surrounding myself with people who are really good at marketing, that's been a big hurdle and just experience and improvement for me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think any e-commerce product marketing is just so critical. Getting in front of the right people, finding your target audience. I mean, it's very, very exciting, and we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Grassroots Food singular is our website, grassrootsfood.com, and then Grassroots Food at Grassroots Food is our Instagram, and you can find me on LinkedIn. I do a lot of posts on there, and then of course we're on Amazon, and you can see a store like locator on our website as well.
Awesome. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Dan. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. All right. Bye.